This side hustle is like Hansel. So hot right now. What's up? Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, because if you think like everyone else, you can't be surprised when you end up like everyone else. Today's guest has built an entire side hustle around thinking differently, especially when it comes to investing in entrepreneurship. She's a former journalist turned institutional investor turned now online business owner. Cody Sanchez has grown her Contrarian Thinking email newsletter to over 55,000 subscribers in just 8 months. And this episode is sure to have you thinking a little differently about how you approach building an audience and building an online business. Stick around to hear what you might create a newsletter about, what makes them such an interesting business model right now, and how Cody's grown and monetized hers so far to the tune of 50 grand just in the last few months. Notes and links for this one, along with the full text summary of our call, are at sidehustlenation.com/Cody, C-O-D-I-E. I'll be back with my top takeaways from this chat with Cody after the interview. Ready? Let's do it.
For quite some time, people could have quote-unquote newsletters through MailChimp or through Medium, but they didn't have the back end that supported monetization or growth or ease of engagement with community. You had to build the thing. And so for the first time, now that we have tools like SendFox and Substack, you're seeing just a proliferation of newsletters, because sort of newbies like me even can create one that can scale quickly and you can charge for it. So you can create a subscription newsletter basically in three clicks.
Are you charging for Contrarian Thinking, or is it still free?
So right now it's free. It's interesting you say that, though. We could talk about the model. We're about to add a paid version on it. Right now, we make money by selling things to the audience that we have. But going forward, we're going to have a premium version that includes things that are not a newsletter that people would pay extra for. And you can do that all through either Substack or a SendFox.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know you could do that on SendFox. So they'll have to do a payment processing for you.
Yep, that's right. I love Noah. And so that's his product. But I don't think it's as robust as Substack on the payment side, is just my opinion. But they do have some cool features, like they have an ability for you to build in an affiliate program, essentially right in the thing. So every time I send my newsletter to Nick, let's say, and Nick, it recognizes you and say you've referred three people, it'll say at the bottom of the email, like a little heart, and, you know, Nick's referred three people, like keep going, Nick. And you could send a little prize or something along with it. Substack doesn't have that.
Okay. Yeah, I love that. I've been playing around a little bit with SendFox for a different site of mine. And it is, you know, in fairness, a little bit of a minimum viable product interface-wise. But there are some pretty cool features, like this viral sharing built in and some of the subscription page builder stuff that's built right in there. But in your case, you're building on Substack. What inspired you to start this thing?
Well, you know, I have a slew of businesses. We were kind of talking about this with my bio, and I didn't have a way to bring them all together and talk to all of the audiences that I have and essentially create a marketing flywheel, right? Where you can use all the different avenues that you have in social media and email lists and whatever to sell varying products to people and or get people excited or amped about your ecosystem. And so the idea for the newsletter was, well, let's create it so we can sell multiple things from it eventually, but have an excuse to reach out to interesting people like you and have conversations that are not related to any of the businesses that I run. And, you know, and there was certainly part of me that just thought, you know, I'm a former human trafficking journalist, actually, back in the day. So I love to write, but it's hard to make money writing. It's hard to, you know, sort of have an excuse for all the time it takes to write. And so I thought, let's wrap an actual business around it, so that I can get some help in creating it and getting it out to the world. And if we can use something like Substack to make it super easy, all the better.
What are you seeing out there trend-wise for people to get started in the newsletter space?
I typically say to start with, look for where do people ask you your opinion on things consistently? What would you do even if you weren't getting paid for it? What are the hobbies that you'd like to get into and learn more about, and you're okay sharing your journey on that? What are you actually really, really good at that you don't have to think too much about doing? And when you answer those four questions, you'll find a little short list of things that you can create a newsletter or a products business around based on your ideas or your experience. And there's plenty of people, like my newsletters are basically all about building wealth or building businesses in unconventional ways. And I'm not saying that I have it all figured out. My newsletters are usually me experimenting with it as a former journalist. I'm like, man, I think you could probably build a business that makes 100K pretty quickly from an e-product. Let's try it, document how we did it, and then tell people how it turned out. And so anybody could do that with anything from cooking to incense sales to, you know, creating an app.
Yeah, there's lots of different ways to go here. And as long as it's welcomed in somebody's inbox, then people are likely to stick around. People are likely to read it, to share it. And tell me about getting this thing off the ground, because everybody is starting with day one, zero subscribers.
We actually did a kind of a fun post, which was 0 to 10,000 subscribers. And how did we get there? And we did it within 30 days. Like, sort of what would those first 30 days be like if you were to go from 0 to 10? And so there's like a couple overarching themes. Essentially, where you start is with the people that you already know. And so I think the most important thing for anyone who's starting a newsletter is, for some reason, I don't know if you felt this when you first create something, but it's scary to share. And so we post it on social media because it's sort of out there and it's not exactly in somebody's face. But what we did that I think will accelerate you the quickest to your first, let's call it, couple hundred subscribers, is we pinged it to all of the people that we actually know personally via email. So, you know, did a mail merge to my contacts, which, you know, everybody in their Gmail, whether you realize it or not, you have a couple thousand people that you've been communicating with. And we just allow them to opt in or not. Hey, we built a business, baby. Do you want to celebrate it? Do you want to come along for the ride? Yes, no, maybe so. Not pushy, no opt-ins, but allow them to join the journey if they want to. Because so few people actually follow through and create things, you'll be surprised. I think we had maybe like a, 30 or 40% of the people we sent that to actually followed up. And it's funny, now I say we because there is another person that helps me on this, but we in the beginning, it was me. So I would start with that. And then the second thing that I think is really important to start doing is, you know, everybody has a couple people in their lives that are, I hate to use the word influencers, but we could use the word centers of influence. Maybe you don't know a ton of Joe Rogans, but maybe you know a couple of Joe Schmoes who have a couple hundred people that listen to them and who think that their ideas are worth sharing. And so we kind of combed through, myself and actually made my husband do this too, the people that we know who have some sort of following. We just scrolled through our iPhone and we looked through LinkedIn and we pinged, you know, maybe 20, 25 different people that were sort of friends of ours and told them about this and asked if they'd be willing to share it and could we share something or do something to help in return. And those two things really led to the biggest first, let's call it, couple hundred thousand subscribers. And then you layer on all the normal things like...
Couple hundred to a thousand, not... Couple hundred thousand.
Yes. No, not yet. One day.
Tell me about that. Was it as casual, as informal as that? Like looking through your LinkedIn contacts and saying, hey, I'm building this thing. I think you would be interested in it. Go check it out. I'm curious just about the language that you might use.
Yeah, it was actually much more direct than that. So the first one was, there's a sample of it explicitly. The first email that I sent out to my friends was like, I created this thing because I think that I have this problem in my life. And my problem was basically, I think that nobody teaches us how to actually make money in life the right way. So I think we should talk about that. And I wish somebody would have told me this 20 years ago. So I'm going to go out and find other people who know how to do this, and I'm going to share it with you. And I'd love your opinion because I'd rather have 200 people who are really smart and going to execute than thousands of people who are just along for the ride. So that was the first email to my humans. And then to the people who are centers of influence, it was pretty direct. It was like, hey, you've grown something. I can imagine that you know how hard that is. I just created this thing. And I think that it might be useful for some of the people that you engage with because of X, Y reason, link it back to whatever they create, compliment their craft, you know, and be honest about it. And I was saying that what you do right now is so cool. I would love if you felt comfortable sharing this in any way. And I said, like, this is kind of a selfish ask. So I appreciate that. And let me know what I can do to help you. Or here's an idea of something I might be able to do to help you too.
And these are people you have pre-existing relationships with, or this is cold outreach now?
Pre-existing. So like I'd go on LinkedIn. It's super easy to see who has a couple thousand followers. And you'll be surprised how many people do that you might know. So I'd DM them.
Has that changed? Because I remember seeing it was like, always just 500 plus connections. Not that 500 is nobody.
Not exactly. And yeah, those would be worthwhile too. So now if you go on LinkedIn and you look under I think it's like the third bucket down, it says followers, and you can see how many people follow them explicitly. It doesn't have what it used to have, which was like friends. That was like the first thing you could see up top. You kind of got to look for it a little bit down in like the third bucket. But like I'm on my LinkedIn right now and I can scroll down and see under activity, it says my number of followers. And if I was to go to like Nick, let's just make sure I'm not lying and they haven't changed this. Yeah. If I'm to go down to Nick and you don't have it on yours. Oh, we're not friends. So we are friends. We're not friends on here. But yeah, people that I'm friends with, you can see their activity. And now that we're friends, your activity shows me you have 12,593 followers.
I'm LinkedIn famous. Jeez.
You are. That's exactly right. You didn't even know it. Best kind.
Didn't even know it. I learned the term lion a couple of years ago, which is LinkedIn open networker or something. I'd never heard of that before. It's like, and now I see it in people's profiles. Like I'm a lion. You
know, what is
10,000 connections. Okay.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, no. That's probably like the new influencer. I probably won't use that word for myself. But, but you know, maybe. That's like when people put visionary on their LinkedIn profile. I always am like, oh, I don't know about
right.
that.
If you got to say it.
I know. Sorry if anybody listening has one, but maybe take it down if you're trying to get a job.
Okay. So you're reaching out to these people you have some sort of warm connection with, some sort of pre-existing relationship with. Hey, I built this thing. I think it would be valuable. Here's the link to go check it out. Is that the ask?
Yep. That's exactly right. And more than that, it was, so for the first people, it was here, the link. I'd love you to subscribe. Please come along for the ride. Don't just check it out. Come along actively.
That was for like the Gmail, like mail merge type of stuff.
Exactly. And then for the people that are quote unquote influencers or lions, apparently, for those people, I would ask them to subscribe too. But I'd also say, I'd really love if you shared this or how could we collaborate in some way? Because I think it's annoying when people reach out and they try to pretend like it's not a selfish ask. Just like come out, be honest about the fact that it's a little selfish and then try to give something in return. At least for the people who you know and have developed some social capital with.
Okay. What was your response rate or what was your take rate from those types of messages?
You know, so we reached out to like maybe 20 people, something like that. I think at least 6 of them actually shared it with their people. And I purposefully, when I first started, I didn't go to, you know, if you were in my network and some of my first humans that I was reaching out to, I wouldn't have gone to you or I didn't go to Noah. I didn't go to some of my friends who have hundreds of thousands of followers because I was so little. I started out with other people that were still kind of little, but they had some social capital. And so that was the idea. And then as we get bigger, now I ping lots of people who are bigger. And that's how we're growing is because I stair-step my way up to the bigger asks because then it feels like value to them too.
Yeah, that makes sense. And there's a little bit of social proof at play where it's like, oh, this thing has 35 subscribers. Well, how good could it be, you know? But now you're like, well, now we got tens of thousands and people are paying attention to this stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. And Facebook groups too, Nick, which like, I never thought that I'd be on Facebook again. But you have a huge Facebook group. And actually, that's how we first connected, right? Was I posted in a couple groups. What I was trying to go for was actionable ideas. Like I did this experiment. Here's how it worked. I put most of it in the body of the Facebook post. And then I also included a link. And I did that in your group and in Trends and in like The Hustle and My First Million, a few sites like that. And I got thousands of subscribers that way too, because it was valuable theoretically. And I answered a lot of questions to them.
Theoretically, no, it was good. It was like, you know, how we got 17 cent subscribers, you know, and we sent out this swag and we automated it. I don't know. It was interesting. I was reading it.
Yeah.
It was actually before that I put out a note in my newsletter that I was interested in the newsletter model, who's doing interesting stuff in the space. And a couple people wrote back and saying, well, you know, have you heard of Cody and Contrarian Thinking? So I was like, the stars were aligned that we were able to connect because I think it is very interesting stuff that you're working on and illustrating what can happen here. Is it Substack free to sign up for? Yes?
Totally free. Where they get you is a super high percentage that they take on your premium model if you pay. And they have a great calculator on Substack.com so you can see how much you can make depending on how much you charge and the number of users that you have. Just go to Substack and search calculator. But they take like 10% of every dollar that you make on Substack. And then they add on top of that the Stripe charge, which is like 3%
or
whatever. Oh, geez,
on top of that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not cheap. But for people that don't want to build anything and don't have a lot of subscribers, you know, it makes sense. SendFox has a cost, for instance.
Yeah, to get started on SendFox, I think they're still running their $50 lifetime deal, which is good, up to 3,000 subscribers. And depending on how frequently you send and stuff, there's different tiers. Substack, in contrast, isn't going to charge you upfront. Do they charge you anything for the number of free subscribers that you have?
Nope, they do not. Which is interesting, but they're VC-backed. They have millions and millions to burn. So I think we got a little bit of runway before they have to change. And they must have some sort of sweetheart deal. I mean, I have a couple friends that have really big newsletters at Substack in the millions. And I have to think that they get better pricing on it once you get to a certain level. And they do continue to roll out new features as you get sort of higher up inside Substack. So now they allowed for some people earlier on custom domains. And then they allowed integration with MailChimp or Viral Loops for some people. And they did it one-off, tested it, and then roll it out to everyone.
Okay. When you're hiring, it feels amazing to finally close out a job search and hit the ground running with your new hire. But what if you could get rid of the search part and just get matched with qualified candidates? Well, now you can with our sponsor, Indeed. It's simple. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. The matching and hiring platform is trusted by over 3.5 million businesses worldwide to connect with great talent faster. And 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. For my next hire, I'm using Indeed to tap into a talent pool of 350 million unique monthly visitors. And what else is cool is Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use it, the better it gets. And how about this? Side Hustle Show listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show. Just go to Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. This edition of The Side Hustle Show is sponsored by Squarespace. You probably already know that Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, but it turns out Squarespace is a lot more than just a pretty website builder. For example, did you know that Squarespace has a new AI-guided design system called Squarespace Blueprint? I was playing around with this the other day. It's pretty slick and might be the fastest way to get a professionally curated layout tailored to your brand or business and optimized for every device. Did you know that Squarespace can also host your online course? You can create the lessons that your audience is going to love, then you add your paywall and set the price. You can charge a one-time fee, you can sell subscriptions, and you can customize the whole thing to fit your brand. And finally, flexible payment options. Whether you're selling a course or a digital product or a physical product or your own services, Squarespace makes checkout seamless for your customers by letting you accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay. And in eligible countries, you can even offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/sidehustle to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Is there an element of organic discoverability? Like, is Substack a destination, a portal, a network, like a medium where I could go and discover new newsletters, new writers?
There is. Substack doesn't have amazing analytics, in my opinion. They're okay. But they do have analytics that show you how many people come to you organically versus otherwise. And so in your little dashboard that's, again, really simplistic, which is why I like it up front, you can see how many people come direct. And direct means that they come through Substack. And, I'm sorry, not direct. Direct means that they come through a link I put out, but they have another source at the bottom that's substack.com. And so you can attribute it. So it looks like for me, I get about 3 to 5%, depending on the week and month, of my subscribers are from Substack. It's not great for me thus far, but it is there.
Okay. So they do have a search bar up at the top. So if people are looking for things to subscribe to, you might, like I typed in podcasting, and it looks like there's several different ones up here that pull up in the search results. There may be an element there versus having to drive everything on your own. It sounds like there's still a lot of marketing muscle that you got to flex to get this thing off the ground, but maybe an element of discoverability by virtue of building on their platform versus completely on your own thing.
I think you're right. I mean, I think if you just start on Substack and expect them to grow your newsletter, that's probably a fail. I don't think you'll get a lot of subscribers that way. But if you use the fact that their model's so easy, you don't have to spend a ton of time or money building anything, and instead put some time and money into growth hacking, then that's where I think Substack's actually really great.
And do you ever struggle to come up with the next week's topic, or have you got a bunch of these worked out in the can? What's the content production like?
So I send once a week on Wednesday mornings. I don't know about you, Nick, but I get really annoyed when people give me theories and they don't give me tactical ways to apply it. And I think it's obnoxious when somebody's like, here's how I grew 10,000 emails, or here's how I made my first $100,000 online. And then it's like, be yourself, be authentic, like, you know, go spread the word. It's like, no. I could be authentic all day, but that's not going to cut it, man. So a lot of mine ends up being a little bit of a how-to guide on here's the theory, here's the idea, here's what I got from it, you know, a 50K launch, or, you know, bought this and it turned into X type of monetary return. And then here's 10 steps. It's me and one assistant, my assistant who helps me on other things too. So, you know, we don't have a huge content team over here, but I try to schedule time for it. I think it was Seth Godin that said constraints equal freedom. And so when I give myself a constraint of I have an hour to research this and I have 2 hours to write it, then I know that each week I'm dedicating 3 hours to the newsletter. And that seems reasonable to me, especially if I'm able to get some benefit out of it. But it is hard. You know, some weeks I'm like, gosh, I don't know what to write about. And then something hits. But I write a ton normally as a former journalist. So that's a little bit easier for me. Where I get in trouble is when I try to apply that to multiple newsletters or social media. I'm not so great at coming up with continuously new stories to post on Instagram, for instance, all throughout the day, 24/7. It drives me crazy.
No, that's helpful because it's something that I sometimes struggle with too, like the writer's block of, all right, I got to come up with something. And it's like when you're committing to publishing weekly, then all of a sudden you got to figure out a system to make that happen. And whether that's, you know, an Evernote or a notes doc of here are interesting ideas for future episodes or for future newsletters that I want to dive deeper into as time allows, then you can maybe build a system out to do that. And to be able to do the level of writing that you're doing consistently in 3 hours a week seems pretty impressive to me. There are others that follow kind of the curation model. Like here are, you know, the three most interesting articles I found on topic XYZ. You know, here's my summary of those. You know, here's the link to learn more. You're spending more time upfront on the reading a bunch of different stuff to find the best three things, but maybe slightly faster on the production side. Let's dive back into the marketing side. So the influencer outreach, the hitting up your existing contacts to go and subscribe. What else do you credit with moving the needle? Because I'm 7 years deep into this newsletter and we have probably a similar number of subscribers at this point.
A couple things. One, I do think your tone is really important, which is me being like, be authentic. So great feedback, Cody. But I think if you can focus on coming up with what is Nick's tone that's engaging, or what about the way you format your newsletter could be different. So let me give you an example. Like for mine, I came up with an avatar. You know how when you have a new sales product, you want to create an avatar for? We have an online course. We know that that course really focuses well on people who are entrepreneurs, age 25 to 35, who are focused on their first business. It's not going well and they want a better way, right? So you create your little avatar of Steve or whatever. I think if you have a newsletter, you should create an avatar of your person. So mine, I started to think about when I think about reading a financial newsletter, I want to gouge my eyes out. Like it sounds like it's going to be so boring and there's going to be stocks and charts and they're not going to really tell me anything interesting. And so I said, I think my avatar is it's that 25 to 40 range of people who would probably read something like The Hustle, you know, the Morning Brew trends, and maybe follow somebody like, I don't know if I can cuss on here, so I'll just say F. Jerry, like that account on Instagram. And so there's like this snarkiness to it. There's this pithiness. There's a little bit of like inappropriateness. Like sometimes there's four letter words in there. And the reason that I do that is because a lot of what I'm talking about can be very tactical. And it's also about finance. And so my little avatar is like in my mind, this little loudmouthed 30-year-old who is actually like knows a thing or two about finance, but has this dirty mouth, like pounds too much coffee, is just ranting and raving on all these different ideas, and has like, I just imagine him like sort of standing at a desk on a treadmill all the time, hammering out all these different ways to make money. And so that little avatar sort of drives everything that I do. And that I think helps people relate to to this really nebulous thing that is a newsletter. If you can get that right and your tone can be uniquely you, it's like, do you follow No Mercy, No Malice, Scott Galloway? Does that sound familiar?
No, I don't know him.
Okay. Here's a way to get your tone. So follow No Mercy, No Malice, follow trends, the hustle, follow contrarian thinking, and you'll very quickly be able to point out between each of those totally different tone. And every time you read it, if I was to put them next to each other, you'd be like, oh, that's trends, that's Cody spouting off again, that's Scott Galloway. And it's not that dissimilar from when you see a brand like Nike, Adidas, whatever. Maybe it doesn't even show a Nike swoosh, but you can still tell it's that brand. And so that's what you're going for with the tone. And that part is harder to pick up. And the only way you get it is you read a bunch of good newsletters or good writers. And right before you put your fingers on the keyboard, you read a couple of those. And that sets your tone every single time. If you set your tone with the Wall Street Journal, you're going to be kind of boring. But if you set your tone with somebody who's a little bit more aggressive or who fits your, maybe is really caring and warm and sweet, then that's going to set your tone.
Okay, that makes sense. Appreciate you sharing that. And I imagine that lends to people sharing it amongst themselves, sharing, say, like, oh, you got to check this out. Or I know other people like me who might get a kick out of this. Is that where the viral loops comes in?
Yes. So viral loops is fun. So viral loops is a way to benefit and give gifts to people who share your newsletter with others. So it's a referral-based marketing system and it's all automated. So if you look at the history of newsletters, Morning Brew, The Hustle, all grew through this viral giveaway. And essentially you're making your people feel special for sharing you. It's like this little secret that they have to share that they've found you on the internet. And then you get to give them a little something for doing that. And so viral loops, we give away, you know, stickers and cups and hats. And if you give us thousands of subscribers, we'll fly you out to one of the businesses that I run and you can meet everybody and we'll talk about how to grow whatever you're doing. And so this is all automated in the system. And you're right. I think the reason it's working is because people relate to that avatar. And they tell me like, oh yeah, I share it with my husband every week. Or, you know, I quote you in a couple of different things, but I say that they're my quotes instead. And that I do think is important.
Is that built in with Substack or just on SendFox?
That is a totally different system. If you literally go to viralloops.com, the only thing is be careful. It's a little expensive. So don't start with it up front. It's expensive per user. So just look at that amount. I think it's a free trial like everything else for a week, but then they get you in there. And I think for the number of subscribers I have, it was a couple thousand a year to do, maybe 1,500 a year. So it's not cheap, but it's so easy. You create the swag. So I have stickers from Sticker Mule. This is where we got to the specific metrics. I think they cost me like 15 to 20 cents a sticker when I bought a big slug of them. And I got those stickers designed on 99 Designs for like, I did it on Fiverr. And I think the stickers cost me like $20 to create. And then I have pre-stamped envelopes that I have an intern help me send out. And that whole thing is automated through viral loops. They don't have the back end, so they don't have like somebody like my intern back there, poor guy, licking stamps. But they do remind you and send this whole email funnel to everybody based on how many referrals they've given you. So that system's really, really cool. But that's like a step 10 to your newsletter.
Yeah. And it's only a matter of time before somebody comes up with the Printful, Printify integration here, and it's all automated, even the fulfillment side of things. That's an interesting one. Another guest shared a similar service called Early Parrot. You might compare features and functionality between the two. Or just build on SendFox, where apparently it's already built in. But this is something that I've got to test in the near future, because I think this is an interesting way to go.
I agree. Yeah, I think it's really fun to try and do. And then, you know, the swag, the amazing part is what people do for stickers, Nick. Like, I mean, people refer to like 25, 50 names, and they're like, yeah, I want to get the next sticker. And you're like, oh, right, man, you get that sticker. And I love that. And so I'll randomly email some of them and make it more personal, which is fun for me. And I do think if you love your audience, they end up feeling that too.
I want to say ConvertKit, maybe testing feature like this built in as well to kind of incentivize this viral sharing.
Exactly. So there's lots to optimize there. And I think the part that I think more people should consider doing newsletters with is, first of all, it's free to start. And a lot of people actually write to think, so you can think a little bit more clearly if you write down and articulate what you're trying to do. So literally, if you make $0, my belief is it's going to be beneficial for you and you should consider it. It'll make you a better writer. It'll make you a better communicator, which makes you a better salesperson, which makes you more valuable. And then if you add on the fact that you can monetize it, the part that I think you and I bonded over with side hustles is if you can get a side hustle that keeps paying you after you've created something once and that teaches you things and skills, then that side hustle is infinitely more valuable than driving Uber.
I saw your post about, you know, signing up for some pet sitting service. And you're like, nobody is hiring me for pet sitting right now. Nobody's traveling. This is crazy. But the newsletter thing is an important counterpoint because it does scale very nicely. And the monetization aspect, whether you're selling ads in it, whether you're promoting affiliate offers, whether you're selling your own products or services, it's something that is less hours for dollars and more of this audience-based business, running your own micro media company. And you got lots of options once you have people paying attention to you. How has contrarian thinking rang the cash register this year?
The biggest way that it's made money for me, and I was a little nervous, honestly, Nick, about making money on this at first. I don't know if you've ever felt that in your businesses, but I kind of felt like, gosh, should I charge for them? That seems odd to me. And then I got over myself and realized that the internet's full of humans doing that and that they are valuable. And so the newsletters made about $50K for me. And that's, you know, since I started in August, first monetizing it. And the reason that it did that is I did a course on top of it. The course, no ads, you know, no big marketing push, no big influencers posted it, but it was solely through pushing out to the newsletter, this online course. And I wanted to start with a bigger price point. It's about how to buy a small business. And so it fits in with my unconventional ways to earn and build businesses. And I started with a price point of $500 for the course and about $2,000 for the mastermind. A lot of people start with something that costs like $5 or $19. So we're going to experiment with that next. But I wanted to go big because I don't have the volume or scale to sell a million $20 things. I needed something like I felt a little bit bigger. And so that's what's made the most money for me thus far.
Was this a topic that people were reaching out and asking you questions about?
Yeah, I'm a VC. So as a venture capitalist, people ask me a lot, how do I invest? And then we bought a couple of businesses. And I think I accidentally wrote about one just because I thought it was interesting. And I got a ton of people asking me about it. And that's sort of the key to look for is, you know, you post about things that interest you, that you're actually doing, that you have real results from. And then once you do that, see if they land. And that landed with a ton of people. And so I created this course and sold it before I had even finished the course. So it was a total MVP. It was an idea. And I said, you know, if we can make 25K on this, we'll create this course. Because this course is really in-depth, kind of. It's not what I recommend for somebody's first course, but it's in-depth. It's like 60 hours of content. And so I said, if we can make 25K on it, yeah, we'll create it. And so then we did 50K pre-launch and, you know, we're on a path to do $1 million in a year for that in the 12-month period since we started with that course.
Is that hosted through Substack as well? Like, is it also a course platform or is that you're sending people to a different site?
Yeah, that's Thinkific. And Thinkific is a course creator site. I really like it. It's not the prettiest user interface, but it's really easy to use. And if you're going to create a course that is multifold, you know, that isn't just you, your face, and a PowerPoint, which is actually a great way to create a course, then I liked Thinkific. We looked at all the other sites, and this one was my favorite. But the other thing that we monetize is a very small. I got asked a ton of questions, Nick, on how do you get into venture capital and how do you get into cannabis, two of the things my fund does. And so I created a $19 product around those on Gumroad, and those do... like, I gotta look at what the exact dollar amount is, but like something like $1,000 a month in sales. It'll vary between like $500 and let's call it $1,400 a month in sales. And I typically donate those proceeds, but that was super easy to create because it's a Word document turned into a PDF and that's it.
Okay, that's an interesting one. And that is something that is sold as people sign up or just sold like at the footer of the newsletters that go out? How are you promoting it?
Yeah, you know, I should probably sell a little harder. I don't. typically it's embedded in links in the body of an email. So I'll be talking about like what's happening in cannabis, and then I'll link, like, if you want to figure out how to get into cannabis, here's this. And then I'll go on and speak about something else.
Okay. So pre-sold this thing, the $500 course, $2,000 for the mastermind. The response was overwhelmingly positive. So you decided to build it post-launch. Is it similar to just work it into the content that goes out every week to say, hey, by the way, we have this course?
Yeah. Well, the cool part is I like to sell my case studies. So in my instance, I'll talk about, buying and selling businesses, there's a million case studies. So I'll write a piece about how to do due diligence on a laundromat and get paid in passive income in quarters, right? And there'll be one that we actually either were going to buy or did buy, or one of our course students bought. So when you have these info products, the cool part is you get testimonials like pretty quickly right away, and you can use those testimonials as blog posts. So I don't have to come up all the time with ideas because my quote unquote students or people in the course will come up with ideas. And then I can call them, talk to them about it, and use their ideas in the blog post. So we talk about like buying a laundromat, buying a business, doing roll-ups and filled by Amazon businesses. The part that is the same with your podcast probably is that I reach out to other people in other industries who have followings that are doing things that are similar to my buying and selling businesses. And I give them a spotlight and then they share with their audience and we grow sort of organically that way.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I love the strategy of turning positive student stories or student testimonials into more content. It really turns into kind of a virtuous circle there. So you've got the digital products going on the monetization front. You talked about rolling out a premium or paid model of the newsletter. Well, curious about pricing and the differentiation of that. What separates premium from, oh, here's just what everybody can get for free?
Okay. Well, what I didn't want to do, Nick, is write 5 newsletters a week, right? Which is what a lot of people do when they go premium. They're like, for my free model, you just get 1 email. For my premium model, you get 5 times of me emailing you every week. And I'm like, oh my God, is it 5 times more money to me? I don't think so. So I didn't want to do that. So I noodled on this for a while. And there's a lot of different ways that you can do it. Some people have book clubs. Some people have a private community or Facebook group. And what I landed upon is some of the things that I do, people have a lot of questions on them, like buying a business. Or right now, for instance, there's a great opportunity in closing businesses to take advantage of the fact that these owners need to get more revenue, and you can help them with that by slotting them into your business and giving them a revenue share. But these things aren't, like when you and I were talking about it, they're not, here's step 1 through 5, and that's it, and you follow it and ready, go. They're a little bit more complex. And because of that, I can do calls, and we experimented first with a webinar. And this webinar was open so people could ask questions, and it was on how to buy land, really cheap land, like land for $10,000 around national parks in order to turn them into campsites. I brought on 2 other ladies who had done it, and we explained exactly how to do it on this call. So it was like an hour-long call, tons of questions, and we had a couple hundred people sign up for it. So that's where I got my little ding, ding, ding. This is interesting. I could do 1 call a month like this, and I could only allow premium members on it, and I could give them a lot of value because for their, I don't know what I'm going to charge yet. I think it's going to be a little bit more expensive. I like to err on the side of overvaluing, because we can deliver people thousands of dollars in returns. So I'm thinking something like, $99 a month, and you have to subscribe for 3 or 6 months. And each month you get a webinar on a very specific business buying idea, a revenue generation idea with an expert in that space and me, and you get to ask them all the questions you want.
Okay. That's very cool. Was the first one paid, or was that, hey, we'll put this out for free to see if people show up?
Yeah, I think you always got to do it for free first, in my opinion. So we did it totally free. And I think we had, I should have gotten the numbers for you, but I think we had 300 or 500 people sign up for it. And then because I'm doing all this for the first time, I realized my line only allowed for 100 people. So we had 200 people that couldn't get on the line. So, I'm panicked. My analyst is like, oh my gosh, what's happening here? But we just run it and we say, whatever, it's 100 people, that's it. And then, Nick, even worse, the recording doesn't work. So we had promised to do a recording afterwards, and it's like fail after fail. But the beautiful part of this is I still get emails from people like, hey, where's that recording? And I sent an announcement saying like, Good news, it was the best webinar of all time. You should have been there. Worlds were changed. Bad news, you could never listen to it because it wasn't recorded. But the good part is I realized, hey, there's something here. And so we're going to kick off the premium model. I think I'm going to do one more free one just because the world's a little crazy right now. And I think if it helps people, awesome. And I think we'll kick off the premium one in January.
Okay. Yeah, this is exciting stuff. Lots of different routes that you can go, especially when you have built an audience around a specific topic of buying businesses or contrarian thinking, thinking differently about entrepreneurship, about different ways to make money. I think you're doing a great job over there. You can find that at contrarianthinking.substack.com. Cody, what's next for you? What's got you excited for the next 18 months or so?
I want to grow this, and my goal is twofold. I want to make 100,000 small business owners of small profitable businesses. So I've always found if I have a goal that's not about me, I'm more successful, and I also get less stressed, because if I even create 200, that would be amazing. So that's mission number one. And besides that, I think we'll create more entry-level products that are easy for people to digest to get them into our ecosystem. But I think people have to pay for it, because if you don't pay for it, you don't value it.
Okay. No, that's fair. Create more entry-level products. Let people have some skin in the game. This has been fascinating. Cody, I'm learning lots. I'm taking lots of notes. Again, contrarianthinking.substack.com. Check her out over there. Cody, let's wrap this thing up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
Okay. What I want people to go do is I want you to try to earn your first dollar on the internet. And like, I could make a lot of inappropriate jokes right now, but I won't. But what I really want you to do is I want you to create some product that you can create once and profit from multiple times. Because that's the only way you can really make money while you sleep, is if you create something that doesn't require you to be there. And what I found is that first dollar is super hard to get people to believe like they can. But once you've made that first dollar on the internet, you start to realize that the world's actually pretty open, and then it all just becomes a giant experiment. So I think this is the $1 challenge, is going online, and maybe it's an info product. Maybe it's, you know, you're selling your services of helping somebody with consulting or otherwise. Maybe you create a course, an e-guide, whatever the case may be. Try to create that one thing. And then anything you do, like creating a newsletter, you'll have a way to monetize it because you have some monetization built within it. And I think that's really, really valuable. So that's the challenge.
There you have it. The $1 challenge. Go earn your first internet monies, product, service, whatever it may be, audience-based business. Create something once, you can sell over and over again. That is really how you can break out of the time for money grind. So Cody, thanks again, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Nick. So fun being here.
All right, my top three takeaways from this call with Cody. Number one is, why subscribe? In tech speak, this might be called product first, where the newsletter is the product. But one of my big takeaways from this chat with Cody was to give people a compelling reason to subscribe. The last thing most of us need is more email. So you got to create something that's truly helpful / interesting / valuable each and every time you hit send. Maybe you do that through your own analysis or your own commentary. Maybe you do that through your own curation in your niche. Like, what else could you find that was interesting? Or maybe you can do that through your own teaching. Newsletters are very popular right now, but like any other content channel, you got to answer that "what's in it for me" question for your would-be subscribers. What are they going to gain from paying attention to you that they wouldn't get elsewhere? What's that void that's missing in their life that you can fill? So that's takeaway number one. Why subscribe? Takeaway number two is relationships and partnerships. Now, obviously, having a great product is important. Maybe that's your ticket to entry, but it's only part of the equation. Cody didn't grow to 55,000 subscribers on word of mouth alone, by having a great product alone. She proactively works for it. And listening back to this episode, the 80-20 of what worked was relationships with other people she called, quote, circles of influence, centers of influence, rather. Some of these relationships were pre-existing, right? Dig your well before you're thirsty. And some were new. But the interesting thing here is, because the newsletter is free, it's an easier ask than requesting some loose connection of yours vouch for a paid product that you have. I found the same thing years ago with my Work Smarter book. Now I went big with a free launch and was really grateful that dozens of loose connections and even strangers shared the project. I think because it was free, it was positioned as a win for them. Like, they're looking out for their audiences by sharing a cool resource. I think you can lean on the same strategy when growing your newsletter. But that was takeaway number two. Think about the relationships and partnerships that you can lean on to get this thing off the ground or accelerate its growth. Takeaway number three is to monetize as it makes sense. Austin Church mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, paying attention to what wants to happen, which I thought was an interesting soundbite. And it sounds like that's what led Cody to create her online course as the first way of monetizing contrarian thinking. Every niche is going to be different here. I mean, you might be getting sponsorship requests. You might see an opportunity in affiliate relationships, but the beauty is being in someone's inbox is probably the single best place to make a sale. So if you do have something to sell, doing it through a high value newsletter, I think, is a great place to do it. Plus, you can ask people to reply with their pains and struggles to tailor future content. You can ask them to answer surveys for you. It's a very powerful place to be that other content channels don't necessarily have the same advantages there. Now, if we zoom out for a second and think about audience-based businesses or content-based businesses, the primary channels that have been on my radar for the last several years are blogs, podcasts, and YouTube, maybe Instagram, TikTok thrown in there. But you know what's funny is volumes have been written and spoken on how to, quote, convert blog readers, podcast listeners, and YouTube viewers into email subscribers. What this newsletter model proposes is to just skip the middleman and say that email is your content channel. This chat with Cody definitely has me inspired to step up my newsletter game and hopefully has armed you with some ideas as well. Once again, notes and links from this one, along with the full text summary, are at sidehustlenation.com/Cody, C-O-D-I-E. Big thanks to her for joining us, and big thanks to Ahrefs for sponsoring this episode. You can start your 7-day trial of the leading SEO software for just $7 at ahrefs.com. That is it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen, and I'll catch you in the next edition of The Side Hustle Show, which will be our third annual Thanksgiving show on 10 creative side hustles that make real money. I'll see you then. Hustle on. As a Side Hustle Show listener, I know you're driven. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. But I also know you can end up hustling and driving yourself into exhaustion, overwhelm, and even burnout if you don't stay anchored to why you're doing it. That's why I want to recommend another podcast that will massively support your side hustle. It's called What Drives You with host Kevin Miller. Kevin's a former pro athlete. He's a lifelong entrepreneur who started 19 different businesses. He's a father of 9 kids, an author, and a mountain adventurer as well. He knows both the glory and the dark side of drive and has devoted his life to helping people who want to drive further, faster, but also enjoy the ride every single day. He brings on today's most influential people in personal and business development to see what drives them and get their guidance on the key ingredients that power our own drive. If you want to fully harness your drive and find peace and fulfillment in the process, go find What Drives You with Kevin Miller wherever you listen to podcasts.